Good evening, one and all. So we are starting with Tehillim Kuf Yud Chet Pasuk Chaf Hey, inarguably the most famous of all the psukim of Hallel, Ana Hashem Oshiana and Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. So since these are so important, first of all, let's simply define them. In terms of what the words mean. Then I'm going to give you a very classic, very ancient perush, and then I'm going to give you my perush, which you can call either something that straddles, obviously, the 20th and the 21st century. I guess that's the way to look at it. So, Ana Hashem. So, Ana, Aleph Nun Aleph, you know, is the language of beseeching. We've discussed that many times. Chazal actually have a statement, and I've shared this with you before. Any tefillah that has Ana in it, okay, is a tefillah that for sure is going to be answered. Okay. Whoa. Just by saying Ana, it's amazing. Okay, so we have Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Now, so Hoshia means what?
Save.
To save. So we're saying, please Hashem, save us. Okay? And it also ends in na. Okay? Which is, again, please. And then it says, Ana Hashem, Hatzlicha na. So, of course, we all know what the idea of Hatzlacha is. What's Hatzlacha?
Luck.
Success. Hatzlacha rabba. I wish you a lot of luck. I wish you a lot of success. So that's the second one. So, Ana Hashem, Hatzlicha na. So what's going on? I mean, because usually we're so busy trying to say it, right, with the kihila. So we have tefillah b'tzibur, right? We have all the zuchliot of the tzibur joining us. So we don't really think about it. So here's one approach. This comes from the Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi. He lives in 1160 to 1235. So during the Middle Ages. Of course, one of the most famous commentators on Tanakh. So the Radak said, you know what this is about? Yomru Yisrael, Ana Hashem Hoshiana V'Hatzlichana. The Jewish people here are declaring, please Hashem, save us, enable us to have Hatzlacha. Okay? L'kol Habayim L'chasot B'tzilacha. With all those people who are coming to find shelter in your shade. So it's a very interesting idea. I never in a million years, had I not seen the Radak, would have thought that's what this is talking about. So the Radak is saying that anyone who identifies himself with the Jewish people, anyone who joins the Jewish people, okay, and the Jewish people en masse as a large spiritual entity, that everyone is, in a sense, being offered the same kind of protection, tachat kanfei hashchina, because silicha is really the idea of, you know, Hashem's shade, which means the kind of protection. So, for example, if you've ever seen a very, very large bird, like an eagle, or maybe you've seen a hawk. I've seen eagles in Alaska, I've seen. I didn't see them with young, but I've seen pictures of eagles with young. So what they do, they have wingspans that are as big as this. It's not an exaggeration. And you'll see sometimes the mothers will have their wings like this, and underneath each wing is a couple of eaglets, little baby eagles. So that's what we're kind of, in a sense, referencing here, that under your shade, under your protection, all the Jewish people and all who identify with the Jewish people should find protection. Okay, that's a classic approach. My question was, I guess, more modern, and I asked this question. I said, why does it say Hoshia na before Hatzlicha na? That was my question. And what's the difference between Hoshiana and Hatzlichana? So go ahead, I'm ready.
If we're not saved, we're not lucky.
If we're not saved, we're not lucky, and we can't be successful. Okay, so right. That was basically, in a nutshell, my answer. what I took some notes, and here's what I wrote. I think Anna Hashem speaks to what we might call, and borrowing the term from Netanyahu, the existential threats that all of us face. All of us. What is the greatest, most obvious existential threat that we all face?
Death.
Well, death. But before you get to death, what do you have to worry about?
Starvation, lack of panasa.
Okay, so as women, you know, what are you guys guaranteed in the ketubah? Food, clothing, and shelter. Okay, shelter is subject to multiple interpretations, but basically that's what's guaranteed in the ketubah.
I'm sure mine also included jewelry.
Well, I've never seen one that has that there. Okay, but before you can get to the food, the clothing, and the shelter, what do you need before even that? You need your health. You need your health. So we don't like to think of it, because when we focus on it, it becomes very scary. Okay, but what we really need, you know, like sometimes I'll talk to someone and go, how's it going? He goes, I woke up today. It's a great day. Okay, think about all those people, unfortunately, who cannot say that. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, and there's an old, it's an anglicized version of, I guess, an old Yiddish sort of saying, but when you have your health, you have your wealth, right? You've all heard that over the years. So that's basically what Hoshea is. Hoshea basically is that we face existential threats, and that has to all be taken care of before we can get to the Hatzlacha. Which is
the Yetzirah. You have to be saved from Yetzirah, so then you could be Matzliach, you know, to either do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Very deep.
But we're asking Hashem to save us. And when it comes to the Yetzirah, it's a tough nut to crack, but that's on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not for Klal Yisrael, it's just for us, personally.
It's, well, yeah, because I don't know, I've never ever heard of a corporate Yetzirah. I mean, maybe in Haight-Ashbury in the 60s, but besides that, I don't think I ever heard of
it. If you try, Hashem will help you to try.
100%.
So maybe that's it.
Hashem is poteach yad b'teshuvah. We've talked about this before, right? But it is about individuals. And
is that why
go
the
ahead.
Baal Korah, or whatever you want, thank you. Is the one that says this? We don't say it.
We repeat it.
I'm just saying, not everything else do we repeat.
That's correct. That's why I'm saying this is so important.
Is that why?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons. Right? And by the way, even though as individuals, okay, all this is absolutely relevant, it's also relevant for Klal Yisrael in general, and that's when you get to feel a bit Tzibur, when we join together in responsive reading. You know, and that's really what we're doing. But in this case, it's responsive. Really, how do we say Ana Hashem Hoshe'anu? We're almost crying when we say it. We're almost shouting when we say it. Right? It's a real tzaka. It's a real crying out. You were going to say something.
Yeah. So there are so many other tefillos that, you know, we're saying that the word Ana Hashem will answer. So let's say like Shema Kaleinu, or you know, other tefillos, Avinu Malkeinu, whatever. It doesn't start with the word Anna.
Does not.
Yeah.
Correct.
But shouldn't it?
Or you're saying it to say Anna Shema Kaleinu?
I don't know. Incorporate it in there, because you want Hashem, you want those tefillos to be answered.
Well, as far as I can recall, there isn't anything in the Shemoneh Esrei that says Anna.
Right. Why not?
Okay.
Isn't the Sephardic Kabbalah not in someplace?
They have very different texts than we do very often. It's an interesting question. There is Kael Na Rafan Allah, which is the five-word shortest tefillah in Tanakh. That's Moshe Rabbeinu for Miriam, right? And there is sort of the Na is sort of Ana, right? Like we have here, Ana Hashem, Hoshea, Na, Hatzlicha, Na. So whether it's Ana or Na, it's the same word. But I don't know of another instance offhand. I don't have an answer for you. You know, I have to. Most of all, you have to have integrity when you deal with tefillah, right? So I don't have, if I don't have an answer, I'll tell you I don't have an answer.
And also, this is asking for a bakasha, which we would say on a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or a Shabbos Yom Tov, which we normally would not have a bakasha in there.
Right, okay. So the answer to that...
I forgot the answer to for Rosh Chodesh benching.
What?
Why we do Shabbos Mavarchim on Shabbos. It's just pure bakasha.
You mean, yeah, okay. It is...
Because that's when everyone is together and we're asking
correct.
For a good month for everybody.
Right. And we're also remembering what the Bet Din did, right, in Yerushalayim, when they would declare the month to be a Rosh Chodesh. So which sort of it's a little bit of a memory of that.
But you also make a Mishabeich on Shabbos.
Sure.
But that's bakasha too.
I can't argue. and I don't say, for example, I don't say. I don't say harachamans on Shabbat, right? In benching,
uh-huh.
Okay. It happens to be a sheet I picked up a long time ago, and then I found out Chaim Berliners don't do it either, which I didn't know. But that's pure bakasha. All of that is bakasha. So I try to not do that. Although I do make an exception to that. If someone invites me over to their home for Shabbat, then I say harachalan, because I want to be mevarich the Baal HaBayit and the Baal HaTabayit. Otherwise, how do you say it otherwise? That's the, so that sort of overrides. Okay. But
would you tell your kids on Shabbat?
The way you get out of Hoshiana as a bakasha per se, and this is what Chazal would say, well, you have a text. You have a set text that you're saying. Now, there is a makbil for that. There's a parallel to that. And that would be, if you notice, if you guys remember, it's not that long ago, on Tisha B'Av, we still say Birkat HaTorah, and we say all those sections that you say after Birkat HaTorah to be Yotzi Birkat HaTorah. But what do we know about Tisha B'Av and Torah study? You're not supposed to study Torah, right? Except dealing with things associated with mourning and so forth. So how do we do it?
So it's not like a personal thing, it's a set text.
It's a set text. So therefore the same thing here. Because that's a good question.
Because you don't want to forget the Torah? Is that why?
Where? On Tisha B'Av, you mean?
Uh-huh.
No, I just said you have to be Yotzi the Birkat HaTorah. And how are you going to do that?
Oh.
Otherwise, it's so,
so
that...
So there's never a time you lay in and not make brachas?
You, well, if you have an aliyah, then you still would, even though if you said Birkat HaTorah, then you would still say it again. Very interestingly. Enough. It happens to be something I just finished with one of my chavrutot. We were studying that for quite some time. So even if you have the following... I can be authoritative about this because I just studied it. Even if you have the following very odd situation, fellow comes late to shul, okay, and he just why is everyone laughing?
That's odd that he comes late to shul.
Oh.
Obviously, he's not a yucker.
Oh yeah, 100% not. Right, unlike certain people that might be sitting in this room. But at any rate, I won't mention any names. So at any rate, he comes a little late to shul, a lot of late, actually, because let's say he's a Kohen, and he just said Birkat HaTorah, and they call him up for an aliyah. Okay? What does he do? He just said Birkat HaTorah, and he didn't even have the chance to say those special sections, like from the Mishnah and so forth, right, when he was called up. So what does he do? So it's very interesting. And if he is a knowledgeable Kohen, what should he do? Is that as he's walking up for his aliyah, should at least say something, even if it's Yivarechacha Hashem, which he ought to know if he's a Kohen. Right? Right? But here's the interesting...
Would that go for a lady also?
Hmm?
Would that go for a lady in Yisrael also?
Yes, actually.
Right.
Yeah, so they usually have a chance
to... So the lady in Yisrael came even later.
Right. Okay, yes, it would actually work. But the classic case would be the, you know, like the famous novel, you know, Friday the Kohen slept late, you know, kind of thing. That's not atypical. Okay? Because usually in a shul, you can have multiple levim, and certainly a lot of yisraelim. But there's a lot of times you only have one kohen. So now here's the interesting case. What happens if he says the brachot, then he doesn't even have the time to say even a little bit of a pasuk? He still says it again. Why? Because one is... What?
You want to be mitzayer, the tzibur.
Correct. You want to be matriach, mitzayer. Right, 100%. And he still runs up. That's right. Okay. Very good. All right, so that's the idea of Hoshea. Now, Hatzlacha, as we said a minute ago, is the idea of success. And whereas Hoshea is really what you might call minimal sustenance, okay?
Bare necessity.
I mean, you've got to eat, you have to have clothes, and you need some kind of shelter, whatever. Again, subject to multiple meanings. Okay, you need it. But Hatzlacha, of course, is more than that.
It's also subject to interpretation.
Of course. And one person's Hatzlacha is not another person's. Right. Of course. I mean, try to explain to your children that, I don't care, any one of us in this room, right, we are living as kings and queens compared to 99% of Jewish history. We absolutely are. Okay? So, just for an example, the Chafetz Chaim passes away in 1933, before the Nazis, okay, and everything else. I mean, it actually happens to be that on January 1st, 1933, Yimach Shemo becomes Chancellor of Germany, I believe, and the Chafetz Chaim passes away after that, but the two are not connected in terms of a causal scenario. Ultimately, above my pay grade, there might be some connection. Okay, but at least causality was not present. Right? But here he passes away in 1933, right smack in the middle of the Great Depression, which was totally worldwide. It wasn't like a flash crash on Wall Street where, the Dow drops 500 points and, Irving in Iowa doesn't even know what happened. No, this was like, the Great Depression was everywhere. It's ubiquitous.
It was before internet.
Okay, and right. And you didn't have to ask what happened. You knew what happened. So at any rate, how were a lot of Jews living in Eastern Europe in 1933?
Shtetl.
In shtetl. Okay. Many. They were very poor. And when he's writing about preparing for Pesach, he's talking about dirt floors.
The dirt floors, right.
We're not talking about linoleum guys. Right. We're talking about
real dirt
floors.
They used to bring in new dirt for Shabbat.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
Our rabbi told me about it. Yeah. He watched his mother do it.
It's all true. It's all true. So we live, and in most American Jewry today, not all, but most American Jewry lives in a time of Hatzlacha. And Halavai Amen, Vayter, we should go Vayter. All right, let's continue. Chavav. Very, very interesting. Here I'm going to rely on one of my favorite all-time Mefarshim, the Malmim, as we go forward. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, beirachnu chem mibeit Hashem. Okay? So, a statement of blessed are you who comes in the name of Hashem, okay, and we have blessed you in the name of Hashem. So let's go, I know it's a question you heard a million times when you were in school.
Pasuk?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is that the same pasuk you say when they bring in a baby?
No, you just say baruch haba. You do say that, okay. But really, in a sense, the big question here is, like you learned when you were in school all the time, mi amar el mi. Okay, who's speaking to who? What's going on? Who first of all is the haba? Is it completely generic, which means it's any and everybody? Okay, and where are they coming to?
Where are they coming from?
Okay, and where are they going? The great introspective existential question that we all should be asking ourselves during the month of Elul.
Would it be the right?
Go ahead. Could be. Could be. Or, now let's remember, who's the writer?
David.
Okay. And he's a Navi, so what's he really focused on? What's he thinking about?
Beit HaMikdash.
And who says that? The Malbim. Let's see the Malbim. Okay? It's a beautiful Malbim. So the Malbim on your page of Makorot looks like this. Okay, you have a separate page, which is right there. Everyone see where we are?
Mm-hmm.
That I have enough pages of. So here's what the Malbim says. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Malbim. It's transformative. Once you learn this Malbim, you're never going to be able to say these words quite the same way, because it's a real eye opener. So he says this, Baruch, okay, blessed, okay. So Ata, Achshav, now, okay, Yotziim, Kohanei HaMikdash MiBeit Hashem. Now the Kohanim, it really gets beautiful, are going out of the Beit HaMikdash, right? For what purpose? L'kabel p'nei ha-melech, to meet the king.
Hashem.
Well, I would have thought that too.
He's saying the king himself.
But really the king.
You mean like David HaMelech?
Shlomo ha-melech, right? That's exactly what's happening. Okay? Because look what he says. Haim, that was point one. Okay, so mi amar ami, it's the Kohanim are saying it to who?
The king.
And is, who was it? Was it Gene Wilder or was it the other fellow? It's good to be the king? Mel Brooks. Good to be the king. So, heim mevarchim et hamelech. I didn't make this up. They bless the king. With what? What do Kohanim do best? Birkat Kohanim. So, as far as the Malbim is concerned, we're going to go further in a minute. The last psukim that we're looking at together, which are going to be Chav Vav through Chav Chet, are all dealing with Birkat Kohanim. Yes, you have a question?
Kohanim don't bench the mouth, they bench Hashem. Yeah.
They don't bench Hashem.
Not Hashem, the people.
Yes. Ah. Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought, because the Malbim is going to address it right now. Uba Asher beBirkat Kohanim, and since in Birkat Kohanim, Amar, it is said the Sam the Shamu at no the Samu et Shemi Al Bnei Yisrael, and place my name, you Kohanim, listen up, place my name. I'm Bnei Israel. Va'ani avarachem. And I, Hashem, will bless them. Remember, even someone as great as Stewie or any other Kohen you might know, the Kohanim, at the time of Birkat Kohanim, they're basically a viaduct, right? Through which the bracha flows. Okay? So Omrim, ready? Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. So now the Kohanim are saying to David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech, you are blessed. You're coming in the name of Hashem. Why? Because here's what you asked a moment ago. Shekevar Sam Shem Hashem Al Bnei Yisrael. Where did they already place the name of Hashem on Bnei Yisrael? Inside the Beit HaMikdash. But here comes the king. Uvishmo, okay, Ba'u. And in Hashem's name, okay, they are coming, L'mikdashah, to his mikdash. Now, ready? Here's the exact answer.
Wouldn't the king have been in shul too?
Well,
and been blessed there?
Kings are really noted for trying to make an entrance. Right? You know, and so they don't normally...
Even the Jewish ones?
Even the Jewish ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought they got blessed first, and then they're also not yet theirs.
You know what? I'm just going with the program. So, L'chein, Be'rachnu Chem Beit Hashem. Alright? You are blessed, what? So what's he say? Shehabracha Yotze mebeito. The bracha that they're now giving the king is coming from Hashem's house. What's Hashem's house? Beit HaMikdash. And the Malbim says it beautifully. Me'et HaShochen Bo. And the bracha, really, don't forget, is coming from the one who dwells therein. Va'asu li mikdash v'shechanti b'tocham. Okay? And ready? Says the Malbim, basically, in case you weren't following, boys and girls. V'hu yivarech. And it's Hashem who gives the bracha. V'ze neged yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmarecha. So that's the first part of Birka Kohanim. I thought it was amazing. I didn't, you know, begin to realize that's what was going on. Okay, but that's what's going on. All right, next. Chav Zayin. Kael Hashem, v'ya'er lanu. Okay, Hashem, in case you didn't get this by this point in the Hallel, David HaMelech spells it out explicitly. The all-powerful is Hashem. V'ya'er lanu. Okay? And so most of you know that this is a vav hipuch, right? So ya'er is that he will. Right? V'ya'er is what? It's avar. So I thought that he's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of what? Masa Bereshit. Mm-hmm. Which isn't, you know, a terrible way to look at all this. The Malbim says, no, that's not what's happening. And if it's me versus the Malbim, guess who wins every time?
No,
you got that. So the Malbim says, this is talking about what's happening now. Let's see the Malbim. Okay, it's the Malbim on the bottom. So see where it is at the very bottom of the page? Right here. So Malbim says this. Okay. Ba'asher yatsu likrato. When, since the Kohanim are going out to meet who? David HaMelech. Ba'avukot shel or. Talk about an entrance with, what do you call those things? No.
Spotlight?
They didn't have spotlights. Torches! Right? Torches. Good for you. But they didn't have that many spotlights in those days. Ba'avukot shel or. With torches of light. So in other words, even though it seems that it's talking about the past, it's talking about the present. Okay? Kamo shekatuv, and the Malbim, who, you know, knew Tanakh inside out, upside down, he had a pasuk, of course. As if, like it is written, Al kein ba'orim kavdu Hashem. Okay, this is from Yeshayahu. Therefore, let the lights honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because obviously, when a Melech Tov is being honored, right? And for those of us who were, for example, at the Torah dedication, mm-hmm. right? We learned over and over again that the king had two Sifrei Torah. Mm-hmm. One in the storehouse and one that he kept with him really 24/7. So when there's a good king, so to speak, then we're honoring the good king. We're actually, you know, if A equals B and B equals C, translate like we did last week, so then we're actually honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's how it brings that pasuk. And then, what do the Kohanim answer? And Meshiv, the Kohanim answer, El Hashem V'yarelanu. Okay, this is all wrapped up. Even though we're greeting you with these torches of light, the light really is ultimately for Hashem, and really even what? From Hashem. Because look at the Malbim now says, Zen neged ya'er Hashem panav eilecha. Right out, again, it's such a beautiful thing. Okay? Now, this is, I think, one of the most powerful explanations I've seen for this part of Hallel. And to me, it was a total eye-opener. I hope it is for you as well. V'hamelech, now the king does something else, right? Kings have to command. I mean, that's part of their contract, right? So if you look back in the pasuk, it says, Isru Chag. Now, by the way, Isru Chag is where we get the term Isru Chag. But it's interesting. What does that really mean? Isru Chag Ba'avotim. Okay? That you should tie up the Chag. What does the Chag mean? Chag doesn't really mean, of God, you know, you're not going to sit there and you know, box up Sukkot. Mm-hmm. Right? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Chag is similar to the word Chagiga, like one of the things that's on one of the korbanot of the Chag. So now the king is commanding, says the Malvim, Isru Chag Ba'ovtim, right? Tie up the korban that I, the king, with the lights and everything else, am bringing into the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Ad Karnotam is Be'ach. Until my korban is with everybody else's korban, right, that hasn't yet been, you know, shechted, right, there at the corners of the Mizbeach. And that's what he says. It's a whole processional, because why? Yivdu at Hashem b'simcha, and what greater simcha is there than the korban chagiga? So it says, v'amelech mitzaveh t'kohanim, isru chag. So it's like this, you know, it was a command, isru chag. Sheya'asru a korban shehevi, right, that they should tie up the korban, v'yoviluhu, and they should lead it, ad karnot mizbeach lahakrivo. So it could be offered for a korban. Okay? Now, ready? This is another part of Birkat Kohanim. Says, and I, again, I couldn't say this, Malvin could say this. V'Hashem yisa p'nehem l'kabel korbanan. So then, when this whole command is being issued, what do the Kohanim do? They look. Hashem raises up their faces to accept the korban. Okay? Kamo shekatuv, and this is from Malachi was the last of all of the Nevi'im. Okay? There's only three Prakim in Malachi. So what's it say over there? Hakrivehu na lefechatecha. Okay? Were you to offer it to your governor? So who's the governor, of course? In this case, governor is being used metaphorically by the Malbim to reference Kochabrichu, the person who rules over everything. Okay, Hayisa Fanecha. Would, in a sense, would he accept you? Now, what does Yisa Fanecha sound very much like? Bidiyu. Good for you. Look what he says. Shekabalat HaKorban, Hu Nesiat Panim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the Korban, he's, in a sense, looking upon us in Chen V'Chesed V'Rachamim. And the Malbim makes it very clear, v'zeh neged yisa Hashem panav, that Hashem should, so to speak, raise up his face to you and accept you. So that, except for the very last part of this pasuk, we're almost done with all of Hallel, except for the bracha, which I think we'll have a chance to get to tonight. Okay? Maybe then we'll do some machzor the next couple weeks. Would that work out for you guys? A little bit of machzor? Okay. All right, so now we have Keli Ata V'Odecha, that you are my God, and I will basically thank you, like Lahodot, right? The thanks. I will thank you. All right? Elokai Aramimcha, and you are my God, and I will extol you, I'll raise you up. So what's happened now is we've gotten very, very personal. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. As we know from going all the way back to the first class, which was probably in 2012 at some point, when we began learning together, right? We say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The idea of the personal relationship that we have. And like all relationships, as we all know, since we're adults, okay, they don't just happen. Relationships take work, whether it's with one's spouse, one's children, anyone that you care about and you have a real relationship with, not just a work relationship, you know, like, oh, how are you? You know, and then, you know, you never see them for the next, who knows, maybe a month later or something like that. But I'm talking about someone you have a real relationship with, whoever he, she may be, takes work. So David HaMelech is reminding us by telling us that we all have a personal relationship with Hashem. Very, very deep idea. Also, by the way, remember the idea for the Greeks was that there was this prime mover, Lahavdil, who created the world and then checked out for all of eternity. For us as Jews, no. Elokai, right? Keli ata yodecha, Elokai v'aramimcha. Okay? I have a personal relationship. And to end it, and it's a very exciting moment, actually, after how many classes? This is, I think, our 10th class on Hallel. It's very exciting. I don't know a better way to end Hallel than doing Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasdo. Let's give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He is good and His chesed, His unbelievable kindness is always present. And if you know, if you remember, that was the very first pasuk of the same Tehillim. So since David HaMelech was the great musician, Meshorer, what is this really then? It's a refrain. He started with it and he ends with it. Okay? So that is the end of Tehillim in Hallel, which leads us to the very end, which, yep, I think we can get done. I'm very excited. We're going to actually finish it. Okay. Just pass this around, please. This is the bracha that concludes Hallel. I'll just pass it down in sense of time. Okay? Now, this bracha that concludes Hallel is not from Tehillim. But it's a, in a sense, it's a good summary of many, many of the themes that we've already seen. Okay? Yahaluka, Hashem Elohim. I don't have an answer. I don't know when it's from exactly. I really don't. And I did not look up the history piece of it. But that's homework for me. Bli Neder, I'll try to find out for you. Okay? At any rate, Yahaluka Hashem Elokeinu Kol Ma'asecha. So, when we use terms like Kol Ma'asecha, given everything we've learned together, how would you describe Kol Ma'asecha in terms of Chazal? What are Chazal telling us? The ultimate idea of universality. So we start with Kol Ma'asecha because Yahalucha Hashem Elokeinu Kol Ma'asecha, that all of your creations, that means the amoeba, the one-celled amoeba, to the blue whale, which I think, if I remember correctly, is the largest animal on the face of the planet. It means a grain of sand, and it means the Himalayans. Okay? It means a drop of water, and it means the Pacific Ocean. Okay? Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created, Yahalucha Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? Now, it's very interesting how it's formulated. Kol Ma'asecha is universal. But how, before we get to the universal, what do we say? Hashem Elokeinu. Interesting. Right? First, again, we're laying claim to that relationship that we have, especially with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, and only then, did Chazal, at some particular time that escapes me at this moment, only then did they go to the universal. Okay? So that's as broad as you can get. Then we get to the next level. Okay? We're actually going to start very, very high, and then we're going to go a little bit lower. V'chasidecha tzaddikim. We're going to start with the tzaddikim. These are the righteous ones. These are the ones who practice ultimate, I guess, you know, the word that comes to my mind is gutkeit. So kindness, goodness, righteousness, okay? And how is that, in a sense, defined? Osei ritzonecha. These are the ones who fulfill your will. Okay? No ifs, ands, and buts. This, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. That's it. Shteit in the pasuk. That's the psak. Okay? But not everybody is a chassid. Not everybody is a tzaddik. So does that mean that we're left out? No. V'chol amecha beit Yisrael. Wow. We all get in there, under the wire. So if you're not a chassid, if you're not... And by the way, chassid here doesn't mean like the Baal Shem Tov. This means, in the sense of chazal, it means a righteous individual. If you're not completely righteous, right, you're still always a member of Klal Yisrael. The door never shuts. Okay? So Barina, in song, Yodu, okay, they will give thanks, V'yivrachu, and they will bless, V'yishabchu, and they will praise, V'yifaru, and they will, this is like pe'er, okay, like the word Shapiro, it's not that dissimilar, especially if you follow someone like Rav Hirsch. Okay, you're talking about we somehow, I'm not sure how we can do this, but we can beautify, we can embellish Hashem's presence in this world. That's called doing a Kiddush Hashem. And you've heard me many, many times, my favorite Kiddush Hashem is not the one that we're so used to, but it's that we're being Mekadesh Shemayim through our lives. Okay, V'yiramamu, and we will exalt. Okay, it's an interesting question. How do you exalt, right? Le'elam in kol birchata v'shirata. How do you exalt Hashem? But I think what it means is that by our behaviors, people recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Such a thing, I've even heard in my own life over time, someone will say, that guy, he's great. His mother must be so proud of him. Okay?
It's because of the mother.
You're not going to get an argument from me. Yes.
Well, you said in the past that, you know, without Bnei Yisrael, like, you have to have somebody to acknowledge.
That's correct.
The same thing.
That's right. He wants us. Okay. Isn't that an amazing thing?
It's like a parent and a child.
Yeah, he wants us. Okay, I mean, we'll leave it there because we don't have the time to go into it. It's very deep. But we have discussed it before, and you're right. A very good point. Okay? Now, here's an interesting word. You're all from, you know, na'aritzecha, right? You ever wonder what that means? So it means to venerate. It means to see as holy. Okay? That's what it means. So it's another word that's put in here. V'aritzu, that we venerate, we separate and see as holy. V'agdishu, we sanctify. Okay, and then of course, especially with Rosh Hashanah coming up, right? V'yam lichu, and we crown, using the word crown as a verb, etch shemecha malkenu, your name, our king. Okay, these are all classic themes that, you know, we've studied many times together. Okay, now, what a great way to, in a sense, get ready to end this, because this is what David does in the Tehillim. Ki lecha tov lahodot, because to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is good to give thanks. U'lashimcha na'el zamer, and to your name, so it's again, your essence, it is pleasant, it is pleasing to sing. Why? Ki me'olam v'ad olam ata keil, because you are forever and ever kutshubrichu. Hashem is eternal, right? Hu haya, hu hove, hu yiyah. And we conclude with, Baruch Atah Hashem, right? That you are in a state of blessedness, right? Melech, right? King, as again we have king used several times here. Mehulal, who's praised. Betishpacha, through praises. So he's in a state of being praised through praises. Whose praises?
Ours.
Our praises. Okay. And now, guys, if you don't say this now, try to make sure, I don't care how fast they go through Hallel, make sure you say this phrase.
Well, don't you only say it on
Chodesh? No. Whenever there's Hallel. You say Avraham, Avraham
Zakim. It says, like, I think in the article to say Rosh Chodesh.
You should say it whenever you do Hallel. Why? Because this little line is a segula for arichut hayamim. So if you want to live
you
a long...
You say it three times, no?
I only say it once. But I'm not saying you can't say it three times. But you should all say it at least once. Okay? V'Avraham zaken b'yamim. Avraham was old in his days. V'Hashem b'irach et Avraham b'kol. and Hashem blessed Avram with everything. So I'll tell you a very cute story, and this will end. Bakol, according to the Medrash, doesn't mean with everything, but rather it means that Avraham was blessed with Kol. What's Kol? A daughter whose name was Kol. So he already had a son, but now he has a daughter, right? Okay, he had sons, now he has a daughter. So I remember telling my girls, okay, that how special they were, and that whenever I say this, I think of them. And then one of them, I won't say who, one of them said, oh, come on, Abba, yeah, it's just a coal. Coal means everything, right? And then she went to seminary, and she came back, and she said, Abba, you were right.
It just proves that daughters are everything.
Right? Hashem blessed Abraham Bakol. So halavai amen. Whether you look at it specifically as daughters, or you look at it as Bakol, we should all be zocha to have all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachot, and we should have long life and health.